What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bitch. Shut your f***ing mouth. I've had enough of you, you beast.
Beast?
Yeah.
How dare you? That's a red wine and a swisher. I think
you get the picture, bitch. Write about that in the New York fucking Post.
So we're back.
Boom.
Maybe we should, like, I don't know, we don't need a new intro for this, but, like, we should definitely find a new kind of music to play. Mm-hmm. Like maybe like a remix.
Yes.
But guys, hi, this is
Hello.
Eating for Free,
off
podcast
the cuff.
Reporting from the edge of the internet. I am international menace, Joan Summers. I upgraded in the 5 minutes since you listened to last episode.
I am global artisan.
Matthew Lawson.
Just make it synonymous. Thanks for introducing me,
Joan.
Welcome.
Wow. Your name speaks for itself.
And does
this is our very first Leftovers episode, Patreon exclusive.
Wow.
Wow. It almost feels like you guys are all my best friends speaking to you because it's like,
I was gonna say, like the real
are the real only people getting this.
Yeah.
So just a couple things about this, just to kind of preface. So, like, this is everything that we're cutting from our main episode. This is, like, you know, obviously edited in to make sense, but this is basically the stuff that we didn't get to because we have a hard cutoff of an hour during our main episodes. And so when we have stuff that kind of exceeds that, but we still feel like should get talked about, it'll go here.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that, like, as we go along, it doesn't really fit in the flow, like something darker or like lighter that doesn't really make sense. Or there's not that much to really say on it.
Yeah.
So, or there's a lot to say on it, but we don't want to keep in the main episode.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
So these will release every Wednesday on Patreon. You can find your exclusive link. It's a one-time link you'll use on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever. It'll show you how to do it, and that'll basically give you like a custom feed for this now, and so it'll automatically update in whatever podcast app you use. You don't have to like do anything too special. You just plug that link and go, or you can listen on Patreon. It's your choice.
If you have any problems or questions or concerns about whatever,
please,
you want with this, just
know.
Let us know. You're like, you know, you're paying to be here, like, we're up to listen, honestly.
Yeah. So I want to start with this image that they posted in the Girls and Gays.
I think I know.
About It was from a taxi in Japan, and it said, this taxi tablet is using face recognition systems with an image received by the tablet's front camera. This image data is used to estimate gender in order to deliver the most optimized content. The gender estimation runs at the beginning of the advertisement program, and the image data is discarded immediately after the estimation processing.
Sure.
Neither the tablet nor the server records the data. To opt out of this feature, please tap the screen off button at the bottom left of the screen and turn off the ad player.
What?
Wow.
That is, okay, you know what's really dark is I was just talking to my roommate about this, and you can look this up. There are intersections in certain Chinese cities. I'm sure it's not like an epidemic that's like sweeping the entire country. I'm sure it's only a few, but hopefully. There's intersections where they have cameras that are pointing to the people waiting at the intersection. If you don't cross the street in a certain amount of time, they will flash your ID, an image of your ID, on this large screen next to the crosswalk and start alerting you to cross the street if you're not like doing that, because China has been talking about doing like a social index number and other things like that, and their surveillance is obviously being expanded rapidly, especially in the hyper industrialized cities. So when I saw that, I was like, add another one to the web.
I just thought that was really strange, because it also reminds me of like when my boyfriend's dad gave him those pair of pants, and I like took a picture of him in the pants
because
they were so insane. And then
like
I started getting ads with those exact same pants every single place that I went. Or like, you know, you'll be with your coworkers and you'll mention something and you open your Twitter feed and the very first ad is that. Like, it just feels a little too like galaxy brain for me to even broach.
But well, there's those ads already that are like targeting the audiences looking at them in like main squares and like augmenting towards that.
I'll also like place a link or like an embed a video in the episode description of this, because there was a video that I came across on Twitter that was so late stage capitalism. This is from @xlucidDreaming. It was a Tinashe video, and it's of Tinashe's iPhone dropping out of her pants at a Samsung-sponsored event. And just to kind of explain it, the phone drops out of her harem pants, and then two different dancers at one point in the choreography practically fall over themselves trying to pick the iPhone up off of the floor. Have you seen the video?
I have seen it.
It's
apparently
so good.
And apparently she like never got paid for that event or something. Because it was like more than a year ago, but the video just got brought back up now. And she was like, just so you guys know, I didn't get paid, so I don't give a fuck. Like, love my iPhone. Love it.
And then, did you hear about the writer at GQ that got dragged on the internet today?
No, what are you...
So there's this, like, gay Republican writer at GQ. He's, like, a centrist homosexual. His name is, like, Joel Pavelski. It's at Julcifer, so, like, of course he's an asshole. So he let out a tweet, a real hot take. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you could just not attend a college you can't afford.
What colleges are affordable?
So then
to like
everyone,
90% of Americans.
So then everybody started dragging him. You know, we found out he was like a secret Republican, loved by white nationalists, has a bunch of like alt-right friends. Somebody brought up an old tweet where they were like, he was saying that like, it was basically like a joke about, a joke in quotes, about how like he kept having to ask his parents for money during college. And like, they don't tell you about that when you take out your student loans. Like, stuff like that, like, because his whole thing was like, I just took out loans that I could afford and I went to like a not bad school, but everyone found out he's like from a very wealthy family. Also, somebody resurfaced this New York Times article from 2017 that I acutely remember the day it dropped because Twitter was lit the fuck up, and it was basically called What Happens When Millennials Run the Workplace, and it was about Mike.com back when Mike.com first started. And it was about like millennial workplaces. Yes. And the very first paragraph in this article, Joel Pavelski, 27, isn't the first person who has lied to his boss to scam some time off of work. But inventing a friend's funeral when in fact he was building a treehouse, then blogging and tweeting from the fake funeral to be sure everyone at the office noticed, that feels new. And it was basically about the culture of like millennials in the workplace. And I just had to say, it felt so wild. Like, if the New York Times profiled how I lied about going to a friend's funeral while working at Mike.com so I could build a treehouse somewhere in upstate New York with my fucking asshole rich friends and then literally got fired for it, that would have been the end of me. I would have quit. I would fully be living in Minnesota at this point. Like, you wouldn't find me. I would drop off the map, change my name. Like,
I mean, that must be more work than to just get the time off.
You know what?
Right?
Everyone in New York media needs to fucking log off and go home and like go outside
more. We can't do these antics anymore.
No.
And not jump through
this
many
hoops. And every time something like this happens, I'm like, of course he works at GQ. Of course he's in like New York media, beloved by New York media people. Honestly, though, I personally had nobody that I follow that followed him. So I was like, curated taste. But like, also, if you're following like Republican homosexuals that work at GQ, what the fuck are you even doing with yourself in the first place?
I do not know how anyone takes that.
What do you got?
Gross. Speaking of homosexuals making bad decisions, James Charles said he's not fully gay because he has at times been into trans men.
What is this faggot doing?
So I got this from Nylon because I was not going to watch any of his videos and give him a penny of AdSense. But in a new video, makeup artist and influencer, of course.
Let's give him the, copy.
Yeah. James Charles made a, of course, remark about his own sexuality, which sounded terrible, in the video called The Truth. My Crush Does My Makeup was a collaboration with Jeff Witek, where Witek does Charles' makeup and the two answer questions. In one conversation, Charles teaches Witek about the Kinsey scale, which, by the way, despise Kinsey scale, like, you know, comparisons and what have you, and like that whole thing, because unnecessary. And notes that he's a 5.5. And Witek says, so you're not even full gay, which leads Charles to explain to that he's been into girls in the past who they thought were very, very beautiful. There's also been trans guys in the past, too. And that was really, really into for a moment of time. Of course, we don't have to explain what that exactly means if you're comparing trans men to women putting you off the scale of how gay you are and the fact that you think sexuality is simply that 1 to 100 scale of like how far you're into it. Of course, everyone dragged him for filth, and he made an apology that made no sense, where he said on Twitter, in an attempt to explain the very complex concept of sexuality and mine in my video today, I unintentionally implied that my trans brothers and sisters aren't valid. This is not what I was trying to say. You are valid in your identity. I apologize and shouldn't have chosen my words wiser. Unhappy face, rainbow flag emoji.
Literally die. Like, literally electric bench.
He's like, I'm sorry for making you think you're not valid. You're valid. I was like, is this English? Is this language we speak?
Boots. Like,
transphobic. Boots. The house.
The house. Okay, there was also something that happened in the Girls and Gays group. So somebody posted select musings from the hashtag pray for Sri Lanka moment on Instagram. Did you see that?
I did not, actually.
Lawson.
What is this?
Lawson. You didn't see what happened?
Wait, what do you mean?
On Instagram.
No, wait, what did I miss?
Lawson, go to the Girls and Gays group.
Okay, I'm so confused.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, an attack by suicide bombers on Sunday in Sri Lanka killed more than 300 people and wounded about 500. The victims come from 8 different countries. There were various worshippers at East Day Sunday services at 3 churches that were among the targets of the coordinated bombings. This? Sri Lanka's president on Monday declared a conditional state of emergency and gave security services sweeping power to arrest and interrogate people and to conduct search and seizures. So I am not going to say that I know anything about these attacks, but what I do know is that famous Instagrammers took to Instagram to share their thoughts.
Damn it, aneurysm.
Are you looking at it now?
I'm looking at the photos now.
Lawson, let's look through some of these. So here is somebody, Alona the Explorer. She is, for context, posed on an armchair, at the top of an armchair, not sitting in it, by a window with a coast. She has a bunch of, like, branded products around her. We can't see the ads, but, like, I'm sure there is an ad somewhere in here, or it was originally an ad.
The Shangri-La Hotels is in there.
Yeah.
Girl.
So, here's her hat.
This is a top post for hashtag pray for Sri Lanka.
Here is her caption. Reading and watching news about terror attacks always leaves a feeling of unease in me. This morning, the news was a particularly hard swill to follow. I stayed at the Shangri-La Hotel's Colombo right around this time last year. I became friends with the staff. I dined in the same place that was attacked this morning. Now, I have no idea if all the people I had the pleasure of meeting are even safe.
This photo... there's nothing in this photo that relates to that caption.
Okay,
nothing.
Even better. Next one. At hodo.nl. So there's a bunch of like strange like alt text emojis, you know, like the
like bubble sparkles. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a white woman with a balayage posed in front of desaturated palm trees. She has, you know, a lotus flower back tattoo.
The select
she
color
is
filter.
Dressed in coral and linen. So just, you know, getting kind of a vibe for who this person is. All you need. So her caption, all you need to know is that it's possible.
What?
Friday, I will fly to Sri Lanka. At least when everything is quiet again. It's so bad that people do this to each other. That people are destroying their own country. The world is so beautiful. I feel bad for the people of Sri Lanka and pray for them.
At least when everything is quiet.
No, even worse. There is a photoshopped photo where they have taken 2 different instances of 2 white people trying to kiss and photoshopped them together to get the best pose.
Oh my God.
And
this
is
Photoshop
at
job.
Fabi.jojo. It is a relationship Instagram that only got 600 likes. So just to tell you the mania of someone starting an Instagram account for their relationship and only having 600 followers. So it's them. There's like a desaturation. She's like a blonde white woman. He has like an Instagrammable beard and a, you know, side shave, the caption, and they're making out. It's heartbreaking what is happening out there, .. Our thoughts are with Sri Lanka. It's such a tragedy that this beautiful country we visited 2 years ago has to suffer so much right now. This world needs capital letters, love and unity than ever. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Let's spread tolerance, kindness, and respect for each other despite colors, religions, races, or genders.
When did this... Okay, listen. For the fact that people have to mention the relationship with Sri Lanka as a tourist destination spot before they mention anything about what's actually going on.
No.
When but they really aren't saying anything but pray
so
for Sri
Lanka.
So
a white British woman posing in front of a sunset with palm trees. She's in a, like... probably Forever 21 romper, closing her eyes and smiling. on some grass.
With an ankle bracelet.
With an ankle bracelet. It's British flag. What happened to Sri Lanka has nothing to do with that beautiful country and those friendly people living there. My heart is with you, Lanka. Heart emoji. These are the top posts. The top posts. And yet the billionaires could save Notre Dame and they had no words for Sri Lanka. Dollar. The only reason people are even paying attention to the dead in Sri Lanka is because ASOS's founders, 3 or 4 children died in the bombings.
Which is pretty wild. But it's Christian churches as well.
Yeah. No, but like what I'm saying is that the only reason people in the West are paying attention to this is because of the ASOS connection.
Oh, I was watching like 300 live streams of the Notre Dame's roof burning down, where it was really just the roof and the rest is saved by a church that has 30 billion reserves.
And the most Instagram could do is get a bunch of white women together to talk about the fact they had travel Instagrams at one point in Sri Lanka. Sis. Mm. And then the like audacity to post the colonial flag over your thing of like pray for Sri Lanka.
Yeah, that is really the thing where I was like oh,
it's brainworms.
That flag?
Brainworms.
Brainworms.
Do you have anything else?
Lori Loughlin and Massimo are apparently fighting with each other and tensions are high. Apparently her friends all think that it's his fault and that she had nothing to do with it.
She's totally leaking these stories. Let's be real.
Also, first of all, again, we've mentioned this like 6,000 times. There's full voicemails and full recordings with her talking about how she can hide this from the IRS and how she can completely disguise that she did this and was asking how this thing worked. So I don't know why this contention of like, did she do it or not? Like, is she trapped with Massimo? Like, Lies.
Also, can we talk about Gavin?
Girl,
so
this cover.
So he was on the cover of a Chinese like fashion magazine, and I found an article.
Elle Men,
yeah. From January 28, 2019 in The Guardian called Meet Gavin, the 8-year-old with a face shared more than 1 billion times. So if you don't know Gavin Thomas, he's known as like the kid that makes funny faces, and you've all made him a meme at this point. I mean, at this point, he's been a meme for almost like 5 years
now. Oh my
God,
actually, when I think about it, yeah.
So in 2013, he was basically, his grandfather had just passed away after a long battle with cancer. And his family had gathered to share a meal together as they did every Sunday. He was the only grandchild. He was always center of attention. They all doted over him, shared photos of his early life via joint social iCloud accounts, etc. One Sunday, his uncle Nick Mastodon took a video of Gavin putting stickers on his face and uploaded it to Vine, which was a recently launched video platform site at the time.
I remember when this happened.
He was an early adopter and had gained a decent following, making mashups of Disney movies and pop songs, which is so wild that he was like a failed Vine star who pivoted to making his nephew a famous meme. This like, you know, spontaneity in Gavin and like his like personality made him like a quick viral star. People started making memes of him. So Gavin's mom, Kate Thomas, basically gave Mastodon permission to start sharing every day 20 minutes with Gavin to make like little videos with him during their Sunday visits.
I remember when that started happening.
By 2014, he had a follower count of over 1 million, and Gavin's dad had no idea that his son was even famous until one day at work in 2017, a coworker started laughing and said, "Oh God, this is hilarious," he announced at his office. Adam has a picture of the meme kid on his desk. "Yeah, I get the joke," his colleague said. "Oh, no, so confused." Adam responded that the boy in the picture was his child. "No, I get the joke," the colleague said. "He's all of our kid. He's the internet's son." "No," Adam replied. "That's actually my child. He is physically my son." So,
and now he's in
over the past few months. So this was in the end of January for context. Gavin has started making regular vlogs to, quote, keep his fans updated about his life, even though he is fully 8 years old. This is now a content strategy developed by Gavin's manager, Byron Austin Ashley, who they both began working with in 2017. So Ashley said that Kate had to start sending cease and desist letters to all of the meme accounts using Gavin's pictures and to start her own, start making merchandise, whatnot. And so they did that. It's worked. They have now over like they have like millions and millions of followers across multiple online platforms. And then last year alone, he traveled to China twice. He headed to New York to appear on Good Morning America. And in November, this is even the darkest part for me, made an appearance at the premiere of Ralph Breaks the Internet in Los Angeles. "That was really amazing," Kate told me. "They invited other meme kids like David After Dentist, Side Eye Chloe, and Backpack Kid. So I got to meet their families and trade stories. I reached out to several of these meme kids and their families before meeting Gavin. For most, the experience of internet fame was a meteoric, short-lived experience. Such was the case for David DeVore, better known as David After Dentist, whose dad shot a video of him while he was still high on pain medication after dental surgery when he was 7. The video went viral and DeVore was briefly famous. Now, I'm a senior in high school and applying for college. I'm just a regular kid who plays lacrosse and works out. This whole thing is just kind of a cool memory. So that was like an update on Gavin, but I think it's so dark. I think it is so dark that this kid became a meme at 3 and now his parents are monetizing that. Like,
oh, they'll be doing this until he's fully an adult.
Like, he's been to China. He's been to China twice to promote fashion brands and be on magazine covers.
Well, there's like because the Chinese everyone in China thinks memes. Yeah.
Well, everyone in China thinks he's like hilarious. He's like a big soup. He's like a superstar in China, and so that's why he's been flying out a lot and has been on these magazine covers. And I just think it is so dark, you guys, that this kid became a meme and like literally the entire world thinks he is so funny and he is literally being developed like personality wise.
What kind of around teams that are about this type of super simple one-hit wonder, but like I guess infinitely mineable type of content. I don't understand it.
It feels almost darker than Ryan Toy's review.
It's like this is a meme. Has a funny face.
There isn't anything there, but he's just a meme, and now they have monetized the fact that their kid is a meme. But that people literally use their child as a reaction image now.
Yeah,
they started creating more memes around their son to fuel the internet's obsession with him.
Branding a meme is a conversation I'm not ready to have.
I don't feel like I'm even ready to have this conversation. I just thought that this was like maybe a segue into like a later deep dive.
Honestly. It's coming.
So all I have for scraps. Do you have anything else?
I just want to read the back of this Monster Assault energy drink.
No.
Monster's Assault energy drink. At Monster, we don't get too hung up on politics. We're not for the war or against the war or any war for that matter. We put the camo pattern on our new Monster Assault can because we think it looks cool.
Absolutely not.
Plus it helps fire us up about the fight.
No.
The big multinational companies who dominate the beverage business.
No.
We'll leave politics to the politicians.
Are
just
you
keep
not a big multinational
doing what
business?
We do best. We make the meanest energy drinks on the planet. Declare war on the ordinary. Grab a Monster Assault and viva la revolution. I had to say revolution instead of revolution because like it doesn't make any sense otherwise.
I hate this.
Who do you think makes this?
Lawson. It's literally Coca-Cola.
With what, L-garine or whatever that shit they put in there is?
Stop. Wait, what are you talking about?
What's that thing they always put into the Monster energy drinks? Every energy drink's like all natural, like L-carnitine or carnitine or whatever that thing
wait,
is. It's
wait.
On this bottle. You know what I'm talking about? Herbs used in energy drink.
Remember this, though? Do you remember this? I'm going to play a video for you.
I've long thought that Satan's favorite drink is Monster Energy, and now I finally...
...is also the number 6. Short top, long tail.
Yes.
Short top, long tail.
Icon.
Could have here in Hebrew 666 on the can. But my interest is the word monster. What do you see in the O? There's a cross. What has Christ got to do with an energy drink, let alone the name Monster?
Monster.
This is a Christian company, though.
Christian.
The FC at the bottom of the can. Do you know what that stands for? It's the F word. The can. And they write it on the side of the can, so I know that's the F word. Do you know what a MILF is?
It's on the box.
Mm.
I just
bottoms up
to laugh,
and the devil laughs. It's just you know, viva la revolution. Grab a Monster Assault drink and declare a war on the ordinary. That is our message to you guys. Welcome. Thank you so much for listening to our first Leftovers episode.
It was a joke, but we love it, and I can't wait to keep doing this. I had so much fun recording this. We were like, it's gonna be like 15 minutes and it's fully 30. So just congratulations.
And don't expect it again.
No, this will probably be it now. Yeah. True. You guys are getting 3 episodes a week. That's so wild. I'm so happy we get to do this with you guys.
You really want to sit here
please,
with us.
It's crazy. If you really want to help us just like revolutionize the way we keep telling these stories and like reporting on the things that we really care about, please tell your friends, like, please spread the word. Like, we are trying to make this like a lifestyle for us and for you. Like, we want to keep delivering the most amazing things we have to offer to all of you. I mean, I'm not making sense, Lawson. The heat in here has me sweating.
I can't hear
out
you
of my hole.
Moisture in.
Like my hole is leaking. We have to get out.
Close up the hole.
We're not gonna promo anything because you guys know where to find us. If you're here,
I'm like, if you're here, what the fuck else is there?
1, 2, 3.
Wait, we're doing this again?
Yes. Good.
Bye.
Bottoms up and the devil laughs.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bitch. Shut your f-ing mouth. I've had enough of you, you beast.
Beast?
Yeah.
How dare you?
That's a red wine and a sweet shot. I think you get the picture.
Read about that in the New York